This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Mark Murphy, editor of Providence Business News. Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Dave.
Well, a late week story is that the governor, Governor Lincoln Chafee, has nominated five people for the Rhode Island Economic Development Corporation Board, and those positions have been vacant, and it has been news itself that there was a search underway. The nominees are Rhode Island College President Nancy Cariolo, also the head of the State Nursery and Landscape Association, Shannon Brawley, shipping executive Jason Kelly, also the head of a sand and gravel company, Roland Fiore. Now, George Nee, the president of the Rhode Island AFL-CIO, is being reappointed by the governor. Of course, all of these nominations subject to Senate approval. And Mark, what's your take on this?
Well, we knew that earlier in the week the governor had come out and said he was having a difficult time finding people to serve on the board. It's clear that it took a little bit longer and for that to happen. And one of the reasons, I think, was the lawsuit the state filed as a result of the 38 Studios issue. People, two of the executives of the EDC, as well as executives from the company and banks and law firms and advisors, to the state on the deal. And at the time, the governor also said they were reserving the right to add co-conspirators, so to speak, to the suit that who could be board members. A lot of people are just a little bit hesitant because if they're serving on the board and a deal goes south, even though they might have acted in good faith, they're going to be thrown into a lawsuit. They're really, not interested. So the governor did finally find folks, and he said at the time, and it's clear from the people that he's added, that he's changing the nature of the EDC, one piece at a time, and he says he wants to support the small businesses that exist in the state already. So what's interesting to me is the governor has talked about the future of the state. A large part of it is the meds and eds. And what you had before were three board members who've since left: Timothy Bavineau, the head of Lifespan; Stephen Lane, who founded Zymetica, which is a medical device maker that has operations all over the world at this stage, homegrown but very successful; and Jack Templin, who is one of the three founders of BetaSpring, which is the startup accelerator, and running his own business as well. And so you had three of these bulwarks of the knowledge economy, and they're off the board, and you really don't have any replacements for them. So clearly the governor, it seems to me there's a disconnect between what he says about what he wants and how he wants the EDC to function.
No medical professionals among these five appointees.
Rick does have a nursing school, and in fact there's big discussion, has been for a number of years now, about creating a shared facility between URI and Rick downtown, and she has said personally she's in favor of it. There is that connection, but you're right. There's no one in the medical field, him or herself, that's going to serve on the board.
And these are all very busy professional people, I'm assuming, and they're going to have to now spend time on the EDC board, which has no executive director. Where's the policy coming from?
Well, I think that policy, and clearly the governor has said this himself, when he wants policy to be more directly tied to his office. And so they will obviously have to find somebody to be the executive director of the EDC, but it will be a very, I think, a tight relationship between that person and the governor. And the board, that board members have always been very busy business professionals, so that's not unusual.
Okay, moving on, Mark. The governor wants to cut the business tax from 9% to 7%, partly by cutting tax benefits for certain businesses. And that's met with some strong objection by CVS Caremark, based in Woonsocket, but now almost a worldwide entity, and to where it can go and what it can do. Your thoughts on that?
Well, CVS is the major beneficiary of tax credits from the state year in and year out. And one of the reasons is that they created jobs here, and they've stayed here. And so that's a permanent lowering of their tax rate. So the truth is, even though the corporate tax rate goes from 9% to 7% in the governor's proposal, if it is 7% and CVS loses a large portion of this tax credit, they would actually be paying more in taxes than they do now. So for them, it matters. And obviously, they're a national pharmacy retailer and pharmacy benefit manager, they can be you know, located anywhere. And so I think that it's a real question that the General Assembly has to grapple with when they look at this kind of tax policy and say, you know, if CVS is not happy with this, what are the potential side effects? Because they are, you know, I think the largest for-profit employer in the state of Rhode Island. So, you know, they have a major, you know, multi-billion dollar impact on the state's economy. And so you have to say, you know, is this one thing a big enough issue, or do you have to kind of finesse it a little bit? And yes, you'd like to see a lot of businesses pay less in the corporate tax, but, you know, you have to at the same time make sure that you're not changing the economic structure so much that a major employer decides they want to take off.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Let's move on to the Royal Bank of Scotland situation. It is the owner of Citizens Bank, a major bank in the region here, and RBS is having some deep financial problems and has said recently it wants to sell 25% of its stake in Citizens. What are the local repercussions?
The local repercussions, if it were to happen, would potentially could be major. For instance, another regional bank, say TD Bank, which is in this market but which is based in Toronto, or PNC Financial Corporation, which is based in Pittsburgh, if they were to buy Citizens, it's unlikely that the Citizens' reach in the community would be the same. I mean, you'd have the same kind of banking retail branches and et cetera, because Citizens has a very major presence in the marketplace. But that all those the benefits that you get from having a corporate headquarters might be lost. And we have to go back for the reason that RBS is getting pressure to do this, and that is that in the Great Recession, in the financial collapse, RBS actually was one of the most majorly affected banks in a negative way. And so the British government actually owns 80% to 85% of the bank. And at this point, especially with the Conservative Prime Minister and David Cameron, they don't want to be owning a bank. And so there's this conflict between the bank management, which looks at Citizens and says, this is a pretty healthy bank and is making a lot of money for us. We don't want to give it up. And the British government, which says the government should not be in the banking business. And so I think, you know, it's possible that this saying that, well, we might spin off 25% within the next 2 years is actually trying to buy time, so that RBS, the major part of the bank, continues to heal itself. And so, you know, it could buy back the British government and wouldn't have to give up Citizens, because I think it likes Citizens a lot. If it were to be sold off, it's potentially a major hit to the region.
Okay, we have to leave things there. And Mark Murphy, editor of Providence Business News, thanks for your insight.
Thank you, Dave.
This is The Bottom Line. I'm Dave Fallon. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.